Singing. Thank you for that beautiful song. It's an old song. Remember hearing it growing up on Molokai. Haven't heard, they don't often hear it. But it's a gentle reminder of what can happen when God is in us. Amen. We can rejoice, as is it Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. It's a pleasure to be here once again this Sabbath, worshiping together with you. And today is going to be a continuation of last Sabbath's sermon and also of Sabbath school this morning. So the title of this sermon, Let the Fire Fall, Part 2. So last Sabbath, we spent a little time sharing about the need for each of us to have the Holy Spirit, not only with us, but most importantly, where?
In us.
Okay? Not just with us, but most importantly, in us. The difference between having the Holy Spirit with us versus in us is, before we met Jesus, the Holy Spirit was where? Where was the Holy Spirit? We haven't met Jesus yet.
In our mind.
In our mind? Okay. Well, let me suggest that the Holy Spirit was with us. He's trying to impress upon us the need for us to surrender, the need for me to change my life of disobedience to God to a life of obedience to God. So, and if and when we do accept Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are now given the Holy Spirit permission to now come in us. So when I accept Jesus, he's not just with me, but now I have allowed him to come in me. See? He has my permission. I give him my permission to come in me. And when the Holy Spirit does come in, something beautiful takes place. You remember last Sabbath, I gave you a definition for the word power. Anyone remember? Well, let me remind you. Power is something that makes another object do something that it cannot and will not do on its own. Okay, you got that? Power is something that makes another object do something that it cannot and will not do on its own. Let me illustrate it this way. I have here a flashlight. I have the battery pack. The power source. It's with the flashlight, but guess what? No matter what I try to do to this silly thing, it won't do what a flashlight is intended to do, produce light. Yeah? It looks like a flashlight, even feels like a flashlight, but even though the battery is with the light, still won't do what a flashlight does. Let's bring it a little closer to home. Let's say the flashlight represents you and I. The battery pack represents the Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit is where? With us. We're even in church. Worshiping, singing all the right songs, praying all the right prayers, leading out in Sabbath school, and Lord have mercy, even giving a sermon once in a while. We're doing all the right things. But is the Holy Spirit just with us? Or is the Holy Spirit also in us? Well, God wants us to be his witnesses. You remember our scripture text last Sabbath was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, and you shall receive what? Power. And you will be what? Witnesses throughout all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in my version of the Bible, Vista, and in all the earth. Okay? God wants us to be a witness. In fact, you also recall last Sabbath I shared about my Jehovah's Witness friend that God used to straighten this guy out. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses has a paper that they like to pass around. Anyone got any lately? It's called the Watchtower. God's what? Channel of truth. God's channel of truth. How true that is. Because you know, you and I was made to be just that. God's channel of truth. But we cannot and will not be God's channel of truth until we allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and we become a light in a darkened world. But not until the Holy Spirit comes in. And if you spend more time with Jesus, you'll note that the light gets brighter. Your light will get brighter. So, do we need the Holy Spirit in us or just with us or both? I'll let you think about that for a moment. Well, God intended us to be his channel of truth. And only when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in us will we become that light in a darkened world, showing others the way to Jesus. You know, we've been spending a lot of time in our Sabbath school lessons about the children of Israel, why God picked them, what was the purpose, why is he taking them to Canaan, and so forth. It's basically narrows down to God wanted them to be his channel of truth. In the book of Acts, we have several examples. What happens to an individual that has allowed the Holy Spirit to come into them? Of course, the first example is Acts chapter 2. We're all familiar with that. The apostles were in the upper room. There were approximately 120 of them. And after spending a lot of time in confessing and repenting and prayer, Holy Spirit falls upon them. And what do they end up doing? They end up going forth in the community, sharing Jesus and him crucified. And he also says that they spoke in tongues. Let me just throw this in. It's interesting to note that there are many Christians today that believe that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. What do you say?
No.
I say you're correct. Because of all the seven incidences that Acts shows us, there's only three where they speak in tongues. The other four, there's divine manifestations, but no speaking in tongues. Even Jesus, when he was baptized, you recall the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and he did not speak in tongues. Okay? There's another incident of conversion by the Holy Spirit, and it is my favorite. And it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Here we find the story of Saul. Do you recall Saul? And before he became Paul? Well, he was actually Paul. In Acts chapter 13, it tells us that his name was also Paul. Okay? Saul's conversion. He was from a fearless persecutor of God's people to a fearless preacher, speaking boldly for Jesus. Saul's conversion is a perfect example of what can happen to an individual that is fully converted by the Holy Spirit. Not sure if you know this about Saul before his conversion, but he was of Jewish descent. He was a Pharisee. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin. Very prominent man, very well known. But He was also very knowledgeable of the scriptures and the prophecies pointing to Jesus' coming as Messiah. Okay? He knew the scriptures. However, because of human interventions and intuition, he allowed himself to be deceived by the priests in thinking that Christ was not the Messiah. There are many times in Saul's life where he almost became converted because he was always thinking, am I doing the right thing? You know, but again, because he listened to man instead of to the intents of his heart, the convictions of his heart, he allowed himself to be deceived. And that's what we need to be very, very careful of, folks. And that is all the reason why we need the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? Because Paul wrestled within himself often, especially when Stephen was being stoned. When he saw Stephen's face shine, it hit him. But again, he allowed his inner feelings to take precedent over what God was trying to reveal to him. And you all recall the story of him going to Damascus to persecute God's people. And on the way, hallelujah, God steps in. Bam. He's struck blind, and he's led into the city of Damascus. And while they're waiting for 3 days, Saul is sitting there, not eating, not drinking, the whole 3 days, thinking about his life, thinking about what happened, why he's blind. He's thinking. And while he's thinking, the Holy Spirit is impressing upon him, because the Holy Spirit has been with him all along the way, trying to impress him that he is doing the wrong thing. Acts chapter 9 kind of leaves out a little portion of Saul's conversion. You find more of it in Acts chapter 26 and also Galatians chapter 1, where it tells us that after Saul's conversion, he was taught by not human minds, but by divine intervention, but by divine revelations from heaven. And this is what gave him the power to speak boldly about Jesus and him crucified everywhere he went. In Acts 13, we see that his name was also Paul, and therefore became known throughout the Christendom as Paul. The Apostle Paul exemplified what it means to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, verse 11. This is what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes in us and we give the Holy Spirit complete control of our lives. And notice I use the word complete. Complete control. We're going to look very quickly at four reasons, and there are more than four, but I feel that these four reasons kind of summarize why we need to have the whole armor of God around us. Okay? And that can only take place if the Holy Spirit is where? In us. Okay? First reason is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Reading, it says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. How many of you would like to be a special utensil, ready to be used by God for every good work? If your answer is yes, then through the Holy Spirit in you, keep yourself pure. Second reason why we need the whole armor of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So it says, keep a what? Clear mind. A clear mind in every situation. I think a few weeks ago I shared with you when my mother and my sister and my brother passed away, and guys at work, especially when my brother passed away, they would come up to me and say, Pat, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing okay. And sometimes they would ask, how do you do it? How can you not, you know? Your brother just passed away. And I said, yes, he did. But I have hope of seeing him again. Amen. By God's grace, we have hope. So it's important to keep a clear mind in every situation, whether it's death in the family, cannot pay the bills, car broke down, whatever it is. Every situation, we need to keep a clear mind, focus on Jesus. And as it says here, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. Fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So how many of you would like to fully carry out the ministry God has given you? If your answer is yes, then through the Holy Spirit in you, keep your minds clear, not clouded by human interventions, but a mind focused on Jesus. The third reason I find is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Short verse, but it says a lot. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. How many of you would like to be temperate in all things? You know, usually when we hear the word temperate, what do we think of? Huh?
Moderation,
in control. I usually hear food. I don't know why. Whenever I hear them talking about being temperate, the word food comes up. We need to be temperate how much we eat. Careful how much we eat, what we eat, clean or unclean, right? But notice the verse says, in all things. So it's not just food. Our work, our time we spend with God, our time we spend with our church family, with our own individual families. And I realize for many of you that are still in the workforce, it's kind of hard to juggle many times work, home, church, community. I know for myself, when I was working, it's easy to spend 12 to 15 hours a day just for work, including driving to work, driving back home. And many times we not only work 8 hours a day, but many times 10 to 12, 14 hours a day, depending on the job site that we were on and the urgency to have the job completed. And so I know how it feels to be struggling and trying to be temperate in everything. And oftentimes our jobs takes a lot of our time. So how many of you would like to be temperate in all things? Okay. Again, if your answer is yes, then through the Holy Spirit in you, strive, persevere for the mastery, and that is to be like Jesus. The fourth reason brings us to our scripture text for today, found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I'll read it once more from the New Living Translation. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, how much? The whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Allow me to expand on this a little bit. There are some individuals that believe that the word soul in this verse is referring to the immortality of the soul. However, if you believe that this, you'll be taking the verse out of context. But that's not what the word means. You will find that when you look up the meaning of the word as is being used here in this verse, it's referring to, guess what? The mind. So God is saying, I want your whole spirit, your whole mind and body be kept blameless. Be kept blameless, folks, until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We were talking a little bit about the law this morning in Sabbath school. One of the reasons why God gave us the law is not only to show us his character, but again, to show us who we can be in his eyes. Okay? We can be blameless until Jesus comes. Amen. And if you believe that, I need to hear a louder amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right. Because I didn't say it. God said it.
Yes.
Okay. And as far as I know, when God says it, hey, that's good enough for me. Okay. So here, this verse, soul, again, it's dealing with the mind, not the immortality of the soul, a soul living forever. And this is what Paul is basically talking about in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what's the rest? Anyone know that? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And verse 2 continues, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Okay? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, the word soul is talking about God and us letting God renew this mind. In fact, Psalms 51:10, familiar verse, just comes back to my mind, right? David prayed in desperation when he realized how hideous his sin was with Bathsheba. He cries out, create in me what? A clean heart, a clean mind. Renew within me a right spirit, a heart that will love you, a spirit and a heart that will trust you, a spirit and a heart that will allow you to make the changes that needs to be made in my life. So going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we have a God that wants every part of our breath. And that's what the word spirit means, by the way, in that verse. Every part of our breath, every part of our mind, every part of our body to be holy. Amen. And I've heard many Christians, Adventist Christians, say, we can't be holy. We're human. I confess I used to say it myself until the light bulb finally went on in here. See, something happens when we start spending time with Jesus and his word. Things that were kind of cloudy become clear. And this is one of the things that began to become clear in my mind. The more I read and studied God's word, then the more I allowed the Holy Spirit in me to do its work. Okay? Being that new creature, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we mentioned last Sabbath, where all things, the breath, the mind, the body, are all become new. And when through the Holy Spirit in us, we become that new creature, we will have no problem with keeping ourselves pure, as we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. We will have no problem with keeping our minds clear, as we read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. We will have no problem with being temperate in all things, as we read in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. The reason why we need to keep ourselves pure, keep our minds clear, and to be temperate in all things, folks, is because Jesus is coming soon. And we know that just prior to Jesus' second coming, the devil will deceive many, many individuals. And again, I've heard many good old Seventh-day Adventists use Matthew 24, verse 24 to excuse their sinning by saying, see, it says, even the elect will be deceived. Is that what the verse really is saying? No. No. In fact, let me read it. I'll read it from the King James Version first. It says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, key phrase, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Let me read it from the New Century Version. It says, false Christ and false prophets will come and perform great wonders and miracles. They will try to fool even the people of God that he has chosen, if that is possible. Again, key phrase there, if that is possible. What does the word if mean, by the way? Condition, okay? As we look at it in this verse, what's the condition here? In fact, let me ask it this way. Why are the elect the elect? What makes them elect? What would make you and I among the elect? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What about the Holy Spirit, sister? Okay, the Holy Spirit is within and with us, okay?
So we are close to God.
To get closer to God, all right? And because the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, guess what? Satan can throw everything at us that he wants to. But because we have allowed ourselves to have the whole armor of God placed upon us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You and I, as we study the scriptures and make the scriptures our fortress, you and I will be able to discern the difference between truth and error. Okay? You read this in the Great Controversy, especially the Great Deception and so forth. It's sad. People will be deceived simply because they do not allow the Word of God to be a part of their lives. So the elect, they are the elect because they have the Word of God in their heart. Psalms 119, verse, 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. Sister Helene had someone read from verse 104 earlier this morning, but verse 105 is what? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if you allow the word of God to be that lamp, allow the word of God to be that light for you, for me, we will not be deceived. Amen. And I praise God for that. Because we serve a God who not only asks us to be what he wants us to be, he makes it possible. Amen. He makes it possible, folks. And again, I've heard many good Adventists say, I'm human. I keep hearing that excuse. I used to call it a reason, but now I call it an excuse for their sinning. Why they struggle with sin. Okay? And we need to allow God to help us to get rid of that. And again, as I mentioned earlier in Sabbath school this morning, one of the things that God is trying to portray to us is not only the holiness of his character, but the hideousness of sin and the need for you and I to get rid of it, to turn from it. But again, only through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, it reads, take heed to yourselves that your heart, the mind, be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods, small g, and worship them. Since the pastor loves the New Century Version, let me share that with you. It might be a little clearer in the New Century Version. It says, be careful, or you will be fooled and will turn away to serve and worship other gods, little g. Okay? Be careful. That's why it's important for us to have a clear mind, to be pure, to be temperate in all things, to allow God to sanctify us wholly, totally, in breath, in mind, in body. God is looking for a people that is willing to be transformed into his likeness. In verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Have you been called this morning? Have I been called this morning? If your answer is yes, then let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Because God will either do or not do what he says in verse 23, and that is to make us holy. It is my hope and desire for each of us to accept the call so that God can complete the good work he has already begun in each of us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, you'll find that. So in conclusion, if you want to be pure, if you want to have a clear mind, if you want to be temperate in all things, if you want to be holy as God is holy, if you want to keep yourself from being deceived by Satan, then again I say, let the fire fall. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we sing hymn number 195, Showers of Blessing.